I love to watch gifts in the body as they develop and become more and more a favorite thing that God wants them to be. So thank these sisters for singing tonight a little more than normal. Give me a little rest for my voice. So I would put a cough drop in, but I'd hate to spit it out at you while I'm preaching. Brother Randall tells about the preacher that would put a lifesaver in his mouth every morning when he came out to preach. And when the lifesaver would dissolve in his mouth, well, then he'd quit preaching. And it was about 30 minutes, you know. And one day he comes out and he preaches about 3 hours, and he finally finishes his sermon, and the deacons pulled him over to the side and said, "You know, we really appreciate you, Pastor, but we're just wondering what happened this morning." He said, "Well, I put this, you know, lifesaver in," and he said, "but this morning I made a mistake and put a button in my mouth." So I could put a cough drop in there and say, "Well, when it's dissolved, I'll be done," but I can stick a cough drop in my jaw and I can keep it there for hours, so we probably don't want to do that. Amen. So the Lord bless you. Let's open our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9, we'll read the entire chapter. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1. "He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed in with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for the abominations that's done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, Go after him through the city and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary," begin at church. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, "Defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth." And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and I cried and said, "Ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem?" Then said he unto me, "The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, The Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me." Let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to just ask, Lord, that you would take these words and that you would open into the hearts of your people, Lord, that you would just be in the midst of this service, Lord, just get into your word with your anointing and just seal it away into every heart and make clarity, Lord. Help us to see where this applies to us today, and Lord, that we might go forth at making decisions that are sure, and Lord, that you could be able to anoint and bless our going forth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to tie this tonight, the nature of the Holy Spirit. How many knows that the Holy Spirit has a nature? Amen. A nature about him. And, you know, I remember in the scriptures, and I remember Brother Bam talking about when Elisha, the children was making fun of Elisha for being bald, and Elisha cursed them, and some she-bears came out of the woods and killed or just tore 42 of them, I think it was. And Brother Bam said that wasn't the nature of the Holy Spirit. That's not the nature of God, but that was the nature of an angry prophet. So the Holy Spirit has a nature about him, and we know the entire Christian responsibility that we have as Christians is to let Christ, let the Holy Ghost live through us.
Yeah.
And to anoint us and cause us to live out the nature that he has. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it don't take a big man to fight, but it takes a big man to humble himself. You know, everybody can fly off the handle.
Right.
Everybody can accuse others and so forth. But it takes something big to say, I'm wrong. And so these things that we want to talk about, the nature of the Holy Spirit, how it affects us tonight. we have free moral agency. We have the ability to choose. God gives us that. And he gives us that free moral agency, and so we have to make choices that will allow the Holy Spirit to come into us and change us. Because we won't change ourselves. We won't change ourselves by following the world. If we want the nature, a divine nature, as Peter talks about, if we want the nature of the Holy Ghost in our life, then there's a certain place to go find that, and that's to in God's Word and through prayer and a relationship with him. And so we have to make choices in our life. When we see something that's getting in the way, we got to make choices to move those things out of the way so that God can work in our life. When he wants to pull and tug and at us and say, here's an area of your life that you need to surrender more of this to me, then we have to make a choice. We have to make a decision to move in that direction so that gives him free choice and gives him the ability to move in our lives and mold us and make us.
Right.
And if we resist it, you know, he's a gentleman, right?
Right.
And he's a gentleman. And I know that if we're predestinated of God, well, he'll get us, but how many knot holes do you want to go be pulled through in order to for that to be done right, and for you to get there? And so we know that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Word are basically one and the same. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is referred to in the Scriptures as the Spirit of Truth. And also, Jesus said, you know, the Word is truth. And so, if the Holy Ghost comes and he anoints someone, he's going to anoint them to live out Word, or he's going to point them to the Word.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, the Holy Ghost might make you rejoice, he might make you shout, he might make you sing. We don't deny all those things, and we thank God for those things. Mm-hmm. There's many gifts, as we'll talk about here in a minute, there's gifts that the Holy Ghost gives us.
Right.
But you see, unless we have that life that comes in us and causes us to live the Word, because it is the Word that will not pass away. So if we're going to live throughout eternity, it'll be because it's the Word in us that's living, the Word, the portion that God has given us. So we know that the Spirit and the Word are one. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it tells us that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, that's God, right? The Father and the Word, which is the Son, because the Word was made flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Right.
Right? So the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. They're just they're different manifestations of the same God.
Right.
But they are one. And so the reason why I'm saying this, you know, Brother Graham's entire ministry, if you listen to him from the beginning all the way to the end, there's one theme for sure. There's several themes in there, but there's a theme in there that he was constantly striking, and that is especially in a Pentecostal age, was a people who, because they could shout, because they could run, because they could speak in tongues, because they could dance in the Spirit, because they had big fine churches, you know, had millions and millions of followers or whatever, because of that, they thought they were okay with God and everything was fine, but their lives was contrary to the Word. Right. And so he had to strike out and tell them, listen, it cannot be that that's the Holy Ghost that you have, because the Holy Ghost, if it was in you, would be telling you these things are wrong.
Right?
And so he had to strike at that, and we still have to talk about today, these things today. And so the the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives will point us to the Word, and it will cause us to amen the Word, and it'll cause the Word to live out through us. You may not be able to manifest some portion of that Word. You may not be able to go over here and raise the dead, but you will not speak against it. You will say, yes, God does raise the dead. He still does it today. And you won't speak against it. But you know what happens whenever the church grew lukewarm, when they became lukewarm and drifted off into everything that they are, they know they don't have it. They know they don't have the goods. They know that God doesn't do those things among them like his word says. So what do they have to do? They have to say, well, he used to do those things, but not now. That was for another day. And that's the reason why they compromise, because they know that's not resident in their ranks. Yeah. So they have to compromise and make it out to be something. But the true Holy Spirit will amen every portion of God's word that applies for this day. Absolutely.
Right.
There won't be a compromise anywhere. And someone underneath the leadership of the Holy Ghost will say amen. Excuse me. He will say amen to the word of God and to all of God's word.
Right.
And so there's no question about that. But this same Holy Spirit, when he comes, he gives gifts into the lives of people.
Right.
We know that there's the fivefold ministry, the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. We know that there's the nine gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, and all the different nine of the gifts. There's other gifts of administration and different things like that. All of those things are given out to us, and God gives us those gifts for the edifying of the body of the church,
right.
The body of Christ. That's what he gives those to us for, but those are just gifts. And people can have those gifts and operate those gifts in their life and even be edifying the body of Christ, and they themselves be wrong in their walk.
Right.
Right? That's why he had to come and explain to us false anointed ones at the end time. Right? Their anointing is of God, but it's a false thing inside. And we see that in scriptures. We didn't see it until he showed us that, but it's there in scriptures.
Right.
And so he gives us these gifts, and the gifts are to glorify him. Our whole entire life is to everything. That's what I'm faced with right now. I just want to point to truth. We are called to live in this hour, just like saints of every age, and that is to point to truth. It's not that we want to be different. It's not that you want to pick a fight with somebody. That's not what we want.
Right.
But we have a responsibility as Christians to stand for that which is right. And that which is right slaps Satan in the face.
Right.
And so if he chooses to manifest himself through governments and through councils and through peoples and all that, that's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he works. But no matter what avenue that comes at us, we still have a responsibility through humility to say and stand for truth and to state what truth is.
Right.
And so when the Holy Ghost divvies out and gives these different gifts to us, the purpose of those gifts is not to glorify ourselves, but it's to edify the body of Christ.
Right.
Everything is to point to him, because he's the one that did it. The scripture said that he was by himself. Nobody else was around him when he did this. He did it by himself, won that victory. He deserves every ounce of honor that we can give him, and every aspect that we could, if we could create an aspect, we should do that and give honor to him in that. So it's by the same Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that wants to live us. He puts these gifts in us. And so these gifts if done right and so forth, they're not going to testify to something wrong. They're going to be testifying to something right if they are gifts. Mm-hmm. And we know that the scriptures tell us that the gifts always find their place. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right.
But God sends a gift into a person's life and he wants them to be a blessing to his body. That gift will find its place in the body.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The scripture says a man's gift will make room for himself. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not bragging. There's nothing for me to brag about. But to this day, I've never asked to minister anywhere. I've had many invitations, but I've never asked. Because just being a Christian, just like Brother Daniel, just being what you are, draws. It draws people. That's something God has established, you know, and you just do that, and it's not to bring glory to yourself. It's just that as the Holy Ghost got in me and I got to rejoicing about what I seen, I want to tell others about it. It was a blessing to them, and you know, and the same thing, that's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
And so those gifts are to be the edifying of the body, and they will always find their place. I was listening to the testimony of the healing of Beth Dingwall. Abby's heard it. So she did, because we talked about it the other day and I was telling her about it. So nobody's heard it? My wife did. I think she did, because we watched it the other night. The healing of Beth Dingwall, was there in Brother Biscoe's church with leukemia. Wonderful testimony. Wonderful. That girl suffered more than, if I had the ability today, I'd say you'll never feel another pain in your body ever, because she suffered so much. But she got visited by the Holy Ghost, by the Lord, and it changed. But what I wanted to point out to this is, in that testimony, you know, Brother Branham talked about this, and I don't remember exactly how, so I can't quote to you, but I do remember vaguely. Beth's dad was saying that when they do the bone marrow transplant, you know, bone marrow is inside the bones.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, okay, they're going to do a bone marrow transplant. You ever wonder how they get that bone marrow in the bones? It's pretty painful, you know, stuff that they do. But how do they get that bone marrow in there? All they have to do is stick it in the blood, and it goes right straight to the bones. Because the bone marrow knows where it belongs in the body. I've heard this before, that you know, liver cells, they go, it knows right where to go. You know, heart cells, liver cells, whatever it is, it knows and goes right straight. You don't have to tell it. It goes there where it belongs. It's like when you eat food. You eat food, it goes to your body and absorbs it. Do you have to tell the energy where to go?
No.
You don't have to. See, there's a power that works inside the body that deals with these things. And there's a power that works inside the body of Christ that makes these things go to their place where they belong.
Right.
And when that bone marrow went down into her bones, it started making blood.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why they do it. And so, what? It goes to the place where it belongs. It sets up housekeeping and starts being a blessing to the body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what each one of us are.
Mm-hmm.
You have a place in the body of Christ. And by the leadership of the Holy Ghost in your life, he'll take you just as straight to where you belong. You'll set up housekeeping and start being a blessing to the body that you belong to, just like that. And you won't even have to put thought to it.
Right.
If people's like, oh, I'm seeking them. I don't know what to do. Just feed on the word and have fellowship with the Holy Ghost, and he'll put you where you need to be, where he wants you.
Yeah.
And nobody will be able to remove you from that spot.
Right.
Because that's something God has established.
Yeah.
But it takes the leadership of the Holy Ghost. It takes that kind of life and walk with God. He'll do that. But you just have to let him, you know, let him have free course. And so he takes everything right where it belongs. So every gift finds its place.
Mm-hmm.
And becomes a blessing. But in all that, as I said a while ago, these gifts, it's not to glorify ourselves, but it's to testify of him and do what he wants and be a blessing to his people. And so it's all about him. That song, I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, because it's all about you.
Yeah.
That's right. We all need to start thinking about that.
Yeah.
See, because we all have gifts in our life that we can bless the body with, and we need to make sure that these gifts that we have is according to the Holy Ghost of what we're doing, and it's to edify the body, it's to point to the Word, to point to Christ, and not pointing to ourselves.
Amen.
Not trying to be glorifying ourselves in any way.
Right.
I was listening to the Mark of the Beast and the Seal of God. Brother Ram said this, it was hilarious. May seem harsh, but I amen it. And he said they were going to have a singing at the church, and there was a young lady that was going to sing, but she didn't want to sing unless she had a certain hairdo. But she couldn't buy, didn't have the money for the hairdo. So her mother, who worked a washboard washing clothes to make money so she could get her hairdo. She went down and got her hair done, and she come to sing. And Brother Graham said, when I found out about it, I wouldn't let her sing, because she's not worthy to be up there.
Yeah.
Now, you understand why I said that?
Yeah.
Her heart wasn't even right.
She
wasn't thinking about coming up there trying to honor the body of Christ by getting a gift of to minister. She's worried about what she looked like and what people was going to think. See what I'm saying? And that's what we need to think about is, you know what? We want to serve God with pure heart, fervently, and get us ourselves out of the way.
Yeah.
That we will just let Him use us. Burn us up, Lord, for Your gospel.
Right.
You know, if that means He needs to burn us at both ends of the candle at the same time, then do it. But I'd rather Him burn us up for His gospel than to be laying around and trying to get people to think something highly of me. You know me long enough to know that I'm not the kind of person trying to pull a bunch of eyeballs to me.
Right.
You know, I just want to serve God, serve the body, and do whatever I can to help the body. And what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And that's why I tell our young people, just be yourself.
Right.
Just be yourself. Benjamin was asking me yesterday about, wants to sell that car he has. And he said, you know, he thinks it's got some problems with it, you know. And he's like, you know, how I need to word this, because I don't want to be untruthful about it, you know. And I told him, I said, just like, and I referred back to what I tell the young people, just be yourself. I said, just tell it. And if somebody picks up the phone or texts you or whatever and says, I'm interested in that, they know what they're, you know, they know. And if they're interested, then they know what they're interested in. But just be honest. Right? And so just be yourself and let God move through your life and be the blessing. And you know what? Most of the time, you probably won't know that you're the blessing to the body that you are. You'll probably be doubting it most of the time. Right? You know, when I hear of somebody in the body doubting their blessing, it makes me angry at the devil. Amen? Because I'm sitting there going, my life is so much better having you people around. You know, so much better to have the saints we have in church coming in here and they're sharing their gifts and their dedication. Our lives are better because of that. Why? Because one member is ministering to the other members of the body. And so, and then I hear that the devil comes along and makes somebody doubt whether or not they're doing anything for the Lord. It makes a righteous indignation rise up in you. And so Brother Graham said, I wouldn't let her sing. Now, what if I did that? What if I said, no, I see something wrong here and you're not coming up here? Would you grant me would you say, yes, Brother Tony, that in your position you have that response, you know? It'd probably create a stir, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But you see, there's a concept there that we have a responsibility to keep things holy.
Yeah.
To keep it straight and keep it clean.
Right.
And we have to watch over that because the devil will move in.
Right.
He'll try to. And so we have to watch those things. If I come up here and I preach just to be seen, or if I sing, which I'm not, nobody be drawn to me, my singing anyway, but if I came up here just to preach to be seen, or anybody come up here to play an instrument or sing or something like that, just to be seen, then we know something's wrong.
Right.
That should not even be on the list of things there. And so these gifts that we have, you know, I'm talking about the nature of the Holy Spirit, that these things, if we surrender to Him, it will manifest His nature in these things. And His nature is not contrary to His Word. Mm-hmm. It's always, amen, His Word. You know, it is a paradox that we Christians are the happiest people on the face of the earth. Right? We're supposed to be. You know, I know we've got, Satan's got his crosshairs on us, but we really are. I mean, we're the only people that know what's going on. I mean, at least to some degree we know what's going on. We may not know everything that's going on, but you understand, mm-hmm. we realize there's a move of God going on right now. Mm-hmm. And we're part of it. God's come down and made a difference in our lives. And so... We're the happiest people on the face of the earth, and yet we should be so burdened down in our hearts for the sin and the lost and the filth of the world. Yes. And that's a paradox, that you can have the joy and peace of God in your heart and yet be burdened and saddened. Does that make sense to anybody? Mm-hmm. To be saddened in your heart and crying out. But don't you realize that's the Holy Ghost in you that's doing that?
Amen.
You know, if I think Brother Daniel and I were talking about something the other day, I don't remember what it was, but we were talking about our sensitivity to things.
Yeah.
And if I'm sensitive to something like that, what do you think he is?
Right.
You know? So don't ever apologize for being sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Because He's a lot more sensitive to these things than we are. Right? And so, yes, it is. It's a paradox, but yet that's the thing. And so I want to ask you the question, and this is where we plow just a little bit, but, you know, we should be burdened for the lost. And so, are you? Are you burdened for the lost? Brother Ram talked about this, and even in his own church, he was talking about the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And he said, you know, I'm sure if I ask everybody to raise their hand, most everybody would raise their hand and say they're Christian, filled with the Holy Ghost of life. And he said, well, we could give it a test here. We could, you know. Uh-huh. And he quoted what we read in Ezekiel 9.
Yeah.
In Ezekiel 9, where that man in linen went forth and he was to mark everybody in Jerusalem that sighed and cried against the abominations that were done in the city. And so Brother Bram said, how many sighed and cried? And I will tell you, I remember being in Yeager's Hardware in the checkout a day or two after I gave my heart to the Lord. And I remember being grieved, being burdened for lost. And I will tell you that I've not always had that burden all the time. You get busy and all these things like that. But what I'm telling you is that when you stay in tune with the Holy Ghost, He will manifest more and more of His nature through you.
That's right.
And you will have a desire to reach lost souls.
Mm-hmm.
And stand for truth and stand for what's right. You'll have something in you that's wanting to manifest the current present word for the hour.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. So Brother Graham's talking about this. And he goes back in there, we read it there, Ezekiel 9, and he tells us, and I'm bringing this up to our day, okay? So he tells us there that Ezekiel, when this prophecy was there, it was for Jerusalem. They said there, go into Jerusalem and mark those who sigh and cry against the abominations done in the city. And then he told the ones with the slaughtering weapons, now you go in, and everybody else that does not have that mark, no matter whether it's young, old, child, whatever it is, everybody else, you slay them. But don't touch those that's got the seal of God, the mark that they were marked, the seal of God. And so, Brother Ram said, that came to pass when, in the early church, when the Holy Ghost came and came upon the apostles and poured out the Spirit in that day, and they made fun of them. and all the things that happened there. And Jesus had told his disciples, he said, now listen, when you see the armies come and surround Jerusalem, you flee, and you do it quick. You better pray it's not on the Sabbath, because the gates will be shut. Pray that it's not in wintertime, because of the snow, snowbound. Said, when you see these armies can pass around about, when you see all the soldiers coming, get out of Jerusalem and flee to the mountains of Israel.
Right.
Jesus told them that. You can read it in your scriptures. And, you know, historians talk about this and even talk about how that, you know, these Christians that stole away the body of Jesus, and they're cannibals now because they're eating on this body of this dead Jesus. You know, that's kind of what they were thinking. And that's what, but historians say, you know what, them people, the Jesus followers, they weren't in that city when Titus came in, that Roman general.
Yeah.
And you know, he come in and he surrounded that city and he cut off their supply chain. You hear me talk about that, how that's what you do. Cut off their supply chain and let them starve it out in there. And historians, Brother Ram talks about this often, how that they eat one another's children and ate the bark off of trees and grass off the ground and anything they could find, they ate it. And he just let them starve out until they got down, and then he could bust his way through there and slaughtered them. That's history.
Right.
Jerusalem. I read the account one time of people. Jerusalem was such a beautiful, glorious, like a shining city that everybody from countries afar just awed. And they came back later on and they didn't even recognize it,
mm-hmm,
because it had been destroyed.
Yeah.
And all because they rejected the Holy Ghost when it was come. They rejected that move of God, and because of that, then there were those that were marked and they got free, but all the rest of them were slaughtered. And so that's what happened. Now, Brother Branham tells us that's repeating again in our day. And he takes us to the scriptures there in Revelation chapter 7, where hold the four winds, right, which is wars. Hold the four winds and the strife and so forth until we seal the servants of God in the forehead. And Brother Branham said, the bride is not servants.
Right.
Israel is. Remember how we talk about how God said to Abraham, here's your land. And when Abraham got out of the land, he was back living.
Yeah.
And he got in trouble. And he had to get back to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And how the promised land is their Holy Ghost. Then nobody, because it's a land that floweth with milk and honey and everything that they need's right there. And so that's their promise. And that's a type of our Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And so when they rejected, they got dispersed and scattered and got taken out into all the nations of the earth, right? They were everywhere.
Yeah.
And it comes down here at the end time where God said, I've got to get them back in their homeland. In other words, I've got to get them full of the Holy Ghost, in essence, right?
Yeah.
And yet they were all scattered out here in all the world because they had rejected him, so he had to have something to get them back, and that's what the Holocaust did. But Brother Ram said there was going to be all these wars, and he said at the end of World War I, there was a ceasefire, and nobody knows who did it. And he said it happened 11-11-11, so the November, 11th month, 11th day, 11th hour, and I don't know, maybe even 11th minute of the hour, whatever. But Brother Ram said, you know, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that was fulfilling of that parable there where Jesus said, the 11th hour worker. The 11th hour worker got the same as all the people that worked the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And so he showed there, it was the 11th hour, and so these, they put a hold to all these wars and strife that was there. Just hold it, wait a minute, until I can seal my servants. Until I can seal Israel, not the bride.
Yeah.
Right? And so that held, and then the Jews came back to their homeland.
Yeah.
And so, and now he said for the first time, he was speaking of it, first time in so many thousand years or whatever, that the flag is flying over Israel. You know, he said that in his day. And so what I'm showing you is Israel's in their homeland. Right? They've got their Holy Ghost. As far as a natural people, they're in their Holy Ghost. I know this. The time will come when maybe they'll get the spiritual experience of the Holy Ghost like we have. But Brother Brandon's pointing this out. They've been put back in their homeland. They're there.
Yep.
So they've been sealed.
Yep.
Right? From because of there. And then he talks about how that there's another multitude of old kindred, tongues, and nations, and so forth. And so he says, go forth and seal. Go seal them. And so then here in this age where we're in now, how God has poured out the Holy Ghost right at that time when all this is happening, gives us the Holy Spirit on Azusa Street, which you know, is further than that. But we now have what the real Holy Ghost really is. People now have access to have the real Holy Ghost. Not just a sensation, not just a shout, not all that, but to have something that will come into you and manifest the Word without fail. That's what we have access to. And he tells us, listen, if you reject the Holy Ghost, then you take the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
Right? And so he shows us here that's happening in our day, and it's going on, he said, it's going on right now in our cities, right now, when he was preaching this. Right then. Why? Because a message was going forth, giving the people a chance to have that true sealing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then after this happens, there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming that's not going to spare everybody else. And so you can see it in there in the scriptures there. Go, you know, but don't touch. Go out and torment everybody except those that have the seal of God in their forehead. Right? The revelation. He didn't say everybody, go get everybody except those that shout. Everybody except those that speak in tongues. He didn't say that. But everyone that have the seal of God in their forehead.
Yeah.
Right? In contrast to being marked with the mark of the beast in their forehead and their right hand. Right? So God's got a people that's got a revelation and they support it. And Satan's got a people that don't have God's revelation and they've got another mindset and they support something else.
Right.
Narrow is the way that's truth, that's right, and leads to righteousness. Well, broad is the gate that's underneath that mark of the beast.
Yeah.
So he tells us that's happening again in our day. And the first time in all the history now that we truly have understanding what the real Holy Ghost is and what it will do in our lives, and that's what we have to accept. And there are people rejecting it day in and day out. It's going on right now. And that's why Brother Ed came along and he said, you know, preaching to souls that are in prison now.
Right.
Because people are rejecting these truths and being sealed away under a bad thing. So it's happening again in our day. So he tells us in Revelation chapter 14, I believe it is, you look at it, that he said there's three angels there. And he said these three angels are really, they are the last three angels of the seven. Now you and I could look at that until we blew in the face and we'd never see that. But remember what I said, a vindicated prophet, when he points to that and says, here's your connection, then you know it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, these three angels is actually the last three angels of all the seven.
Right.
And so, I don't have it memorized, so I can't quote it, but basically the first one had the everlasting gospel to preach, and the next one come on. And he said that was Luther and Wesley and Pentecost. And if you look at that last one of those three, look at his warning. Be careful that you don't be partakers of that mark and that judgment, right? And that's what he's saying. Why? Because underneath that ministry, he's warning people, whatever you do, take the real thing or else you're going to take the false. And he kept telling churches over and over and over, get away from that thing because before you know it, you're going to take something you can't get out of. See? At some point, they're going to reject the truth of the word to the degree that they hit that point where they'll never come back. See? And you can tie it back to that jubilee. When that jubilee trumpet would blow, some guy's in bondage. Jubilee trumpet blows, he can leave and never be in bondage again. go back to his family, go back to to all the possession, everything that he lost, go back to the Holy Ghost that he once had, right? His possession is given to him. But if he didn't want to, if he didn't want to leave, and they take him down and bore his ear through with an awl at the temple, then he'd never get to go free after that, because he had rejected truth. And so I always thought it was interesting to bore a hole in his ear, marking his ear, showing that he'll never hear it again. Because that mark's there. Right? Even if he could hear it and decide that he wanted to go, he can't, because he's been marked in his hearing.
Right.
And these things matter. These things are taking place now.
Amen.
And even in this day, to the full extent, we got to be careful and listen and receive and not reject. And know that it will manifest the truth in our lives and not some mixed up something.
Right.
We've got to stay with it.
Yeah.
Amen. And so, we have to be led by the Holy Ghost. We have to.
Yeah.
We can't be led by something else. We've got to have the move of God in this. And you know, it's like in our forefathers, give me death or give me liberty. Well, give me the Holy Ghost. You know, give me the Holy Ghost. I don't want nothing else. I got to have it.
Amen.
You know, I got to have that to be what's leading me and guiding me to make the decision I need to make.
Right?
Right? And that's the way. But you know, the world is just desensitizes us, and we're busy doing all this, and we're entertained with that, entertained with something else, and gets us away from the reality of that burden of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
To stand for what's right and stand out there and be what we're supposed to be. In the face of whatever comes our way, right? We don't get to choose the battle. We don't get to choose what persecution's coming at us. That's up to him. But no matter where we find ourselves, we have to stand there and stand for truth, not in arrogancy, but just in truth, saying, you know, let the king live forever, but I have to obey God, right? You see that in the scriptures. So we got to have that. And if you don't have that, if you've been a Christian and you have had the Holy Ghost and you get out of fellowship from God, you're miserable.
Right.
Let's read Psalms 137, verses 1 through, I don't know, did I write on the what verses?
1 through 6.
1 through 6, okay, that's right. Psalms 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Now, don't hold it a second. When people reject truth, they get carried away to Babylon. When they defected from the truth of one God there in the days of Genesis, coming out in the lineage of Noah and coming on to Abraham, when they rejected that truth, then it became Babylon, Nimrod. Multiple gods, all kinds of ways.
Right.
And this, you see this all the way through scriptures. And when Israel got and rejected God and so forth, they got carried away into Babylon.
Right.
And then later on under Rome, what did they get carried away into? Spiritual Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Rome, right? Rome is Babylon.
Yeah.
Confusion. There's only one place where you won't have confusion, and that's in the Word of God. But they carried them away. And so here, this is where they're talking about. Israel, we were once in our Holy Ghost. We were once filled with the Holy Ghost, had everything we needed right there in Jerusalem and in our promised land. We rejected the word, and now we've been carried away into confusion, into Babylon, without the experience of the Holy Ghost ruling our lives and running in our lives. So by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept when we remembered the days when we walked in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
See? Let's go to the next one. We hanged our harps up upon the willows in the midst thereof. You know what the harps are for singing.
Right.
They said we hung the harps up. We didn't have them down playing. We hung them up in the midst thereof. Verse 3. For there, in Babylon, right? For there, they that carried us captive, carried us away captive, required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. You think the devil don't make fun of you? You think the devil's not going to take our young people that have left this message and make fun of them? That's what he's done. Because he'll say, ah, come on, sing us one of those songs you used to sing. Talk about this Holy Ghost you used to have.
Yeah.
Talk about the meetings where things used to be so good. Because you don't have it now. Because we're in control. Right? That's what he's saying. For there, they that carried us away captive, and they that wasted us, they wanted us to continue. They were mocking us.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Let's go to the next verse. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we sing when we know we're not in tune with the Holy Ghost?
Right.
See what I'm saying? How can we do that? How can, and you know, that's what I'm getting at, is when you're away from the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, this is the way you feel.
Right.
You got to get back to Him.
Amen.
You got to get back to that fellowship, not to be in Babylon. And the only way to get out of Babylon is go back to that Word and let that Word be the thing that gives you rest and peace. Let that Word be the land that flows with milk and honey, that you have everything that you need right there for your entire life. Right there. That's what we have to be. But if we compromise on that, if you automatically, when you reject this truth, the Holy Ghost, then you automatically go to that mark, to that other side. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? There's a vow to make. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Look what it's saying there. Make a vow. Let me not forget what it was like, what that is, that I might want that, and that every other joy that I have in life, let that go away, and let this be what is most important to me.
Yeah.
Is what they're saying. Let me just not even be able to speak. Let the tongue just cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not that experience above everything else that I find to be joyful in my life.
Amen.
Amen. That's what he's telling us. To get anything done for the Lord, it requires us to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For Him to be able to speak into our lives. And anything outside of that, it just brings disappointment. Amen. So I said a while ago, we by free choice, by free moral agency, free choice, we have to make choices to let God move in our lives. And I'll just say it like this, you know, I know Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And even though you're burdened for lost souls, it is a light burden because you have the fellowship of the Lord there. But I can just say like this, just walk over, put that harness of the Holy Ghost, the life in the Holy Ghost, just put it on and let it burn you down. Let it produce that. Let it pull you into the place where you realize, I got to have this. Let me forsake all of the joys. Let me, like I heard Brother Bram saying, he let their sleep go from them till they get out on their hands and knees and say, God, give me that Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Let us forsake all other pleasures until we can come to that and say, this is what I embrace. This is what I want. And I want to walk day in and day out with this, because I know that if that's the way I'm living, then God's getting something done through my life,
Amen.
Through your life. That we might live the nature of the Holy Spirit. And that is, you know, it broke my heart. I've seen a fellow here recently, been in this message for many years. He may hear this, I don't know. And I love the brother. But he's been in this message for years, and he goes in the prayer line. saying, I got to know that I got the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, brother, I didn't tell him, but I'm thinking, maybe he will, and I'll tell you this, so he'll know. You've been walking in a message of the revealed word of the hour that God has brought that the rest of the world hates, a message that's changing our bodies. You've been walking in that for years, rejoicing in it, sharing it with people, and you wonder if you got the Holy Ghost. He's looking for the wrong thing because he come from Pentecost.
That's right.
And Pentecost always, you got to shout, you got to have a tongue, you got to do that, you got to have a sensation. And that's what he got to escape from that and come to the place where it's the Word. Amen. Whether you have a sensation or not, it's the Word. You know something down inside changed you. Amen. And there's something causing you to want that Word to be pregnant in your life. Amen. You realize that... I have no problem with us having prayer lines and all those things. We love those things. You have a sensation. You say, oh, I came up, I prayed at the altar, and I felt warm oil come all over me. And I jumped up and praised God, shouting, I got the Holy Ghost. And you realize by the time you walk out that door, 15 minutes later, you won't feel that. And if that's what it took to get you there to think you had the Holy Ghost, when you get out there, you're going to doubt it. But God wants to institute something in your life that stops all the questions.
Right.
That makes you know who you are. And that is not tied to a sensation. And Brother Rem said Satan can imitate every one of them. Mm-hmm. Right? But he cannot imitate the Word. Amen. So we want the nature of the Word, the nature of the Holy Spirit living in our lives.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. Just pray that this cough will go away. It is. It's just slow. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to the end of this service now, we just ask, Lord, as we always do, that your Holy Spirit would take these words and seal them away in the hearts of your people. We love you, Lord, and we realize we live in a tremendous time. This world is just closing out, history just fading away. And Satan and his kingdom, they're just grasping at everything they can to try to maintain power, maintain a control in Satan's Eden. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would continue to speak to the hearts of your people around the world, that you continue to draw us up into the very one and only thing that keeps us, and that is your Word. And Lord, that you would create a confidence in our hearts like none other, no other experience, Lord, that would be the thing we go to realize that we belong to you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for every time that we have wonderful meetings and all those things that we realize, Lord, that it has to be with us when we leave the house of God, when we go to our jobs, and when we go to our homes. And so, Lord, that's what we're shooting for. That's what we're longing for. Is that kind of experience has preeminence in every one of our lives. And I believe that you have it for us, Lord, because it's continually there before us. Lord, that's what you have for us. We love you, and we just commit this people into your hands. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To this electric guitar.
Big Bird. Jesus.